today on Real Radio.
As soon as war breaks out in the Middle East, and it's coming, all the phones are going to light up because Fox News is going to call, CNN, NBC, the local newspapers are going to call, and they're going to say, is this the Battle of Armageddon? Is this Armageddon? Is this Armageddon? First of all, they never believe in the Bible until there's a big war event, and then they all want to know what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In the message, Our Biblical Worldview and War, Pastor Jack explains that free nations today are fighting various forms of oppression, some of which have no borders, no flag, no uniforms, no rules. So, is a nation morally obligated to protect and defend its citizens? Do we avenge and execute wrath on those who practice evil? Today, Pastor Jack understands that our opinions and emotions can deceive us regarding war. God wants us to live a quiet and peaceful life, and so do we, but since the fall of man, rebellion has separated us from God. Our own sin has allowed war to enter the human heart. And now with today's lesson, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so, Lord, I'm asking you to fill in the gaps, to fill in the open spaces with wisdom and discernment from your word, not from our opinions, not from our views. In fact, in preparing for this message, it's interesting, I found it in my own heart, that there are things with your word that are so clear and black and white, and yet my emotions do not agree with them. And I have to divorce myself from my emotions, which are deceiving and dangerous, and acquiesce to your word. Your word is the rule. It is life, it is eternal, it is truth. So, Father, we pray now that the Holy Spirit would give us ears and eyes, hands and feet, to put into practice what we received tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the theme verse of this series, the Worldview Series. Tonight we're looking at the worldview, a biblical worldview, and war. And that is an appropriate topic. War. I'm going to tell you right now, right up front, a lot of Christians are going to avoid this topic. Most people don't want to talk about it, first of all. We don't want to talk about it, but it is really a part of our fiber of life. I don't know if you realize that or not. And you tonight are a hard audience to be speaking to on this topic of war. You want to know why? Because not only do we live in America, but we live in Southern California. If I was delivering this message on the East Coast of the United States, they'd be a little bit more receptive to it. You go on the East Coast and you're reminded of the Revolutionary War. You're reminded of the Civil War. You're reminded of King Philip's War. You're reminded of various wars that have taken place in what is these United States now. Tonight, we're going to be talking about war in the biblical worldview about war. And I need all of you to pay attention, especially you young people. Because statistically, every generation globally in the most peaceful settings experiences war on the average of every 35 to 40 years. Did you know that? Now, if I were to, you might go, what? Again, that's because you live in America. But if I mentioned this in France tonight, or if I was in Germany tonight speaking about this, they would all go, yep. We know all about that, from the First World War to the Second World War. And then if you're in other parts of the world, they're just in a perpetual state of war. Did you know, according to the CIA website, there's 128 wars of either nations or tribal groups happening every day around the world, 128 tribal wars or national wars of some fashion taking place per day. War. Why? Why isn't there world peace after all the money we've thrown at it? Why isn't there world peace after all the efforts that we've made to lobby and to protest and to stand against war? Well, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, you know the theme by now. Paul is saying to the Athenian worshippers of foreign gods, he said, it's this God of heaven, the God of heaven and earth. It's in him we live and move, and we have our being, our very existence. Note that, everybody. You say, what does that have to do with war? It has everything to do with it. Paul says, it's in him we live. That means without him, we die. It's in him that we move. That is, that we prosper. God wants us to prosper in life. I don't mean get rich. If you've come to, if you come to hear that kind of message, you're in the wrong church. When I say prosper, I mean this. God wants you to live a meaningful, purposeful, and he wants you to live, by the way, a productive, quiet life. Did you know the Bible says that? He wants you to pray for your leaders that you might live a peaceable, quiet life. That's God's will for your life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that excellent? And the Bible says in him we have our being, our very existence. And without God in our hearts, in our lives, and in our minds, man goes nuts. Man goes off the rails. And we'll hear about this tonight regarding war. How many of you are on a high school or college, university campus tonight? Raise your hands. Raise your hands up high. Excellent. I want you to be listening tonight, especially careful, very closely. It's easy to express views when you live in a bubble. It's easy to say that you're for this or against the other when you don't traffic in that realm. It's kind of like Lisa and I, in our college and career group that we used to attend at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in the late 70s and early to mid 80s, we had a small group. We had a college and career small group, 750 people in the small group. And we were the only ones married, and we were the only ones that had a kid that we were trafficking with at that time like that. And so they kind of look at us and poke us to see if we were even real. And it's funny to see how many people who don't have children, not even married, want to tell you how to be married and how to raise your kids. It is remarkable. And so listen, you always ask them, do you have any kids? No, but. And then the rest of the time, you're biting your lip to keep from laughing because they have no idea what they're talking about, even if they got it out of a book, because they haven't lived it. You got to live it. And tonight we're at a great handicap, most of us. I was talking to Bob before service, who fought in World War II on the beaches of Europe. He knows what I'm talking about. But most of us tonight, thankfully to God, we don't know much, if at all, about war. Tragically, I believe those days of ease are shortening as we look around the world. The art of war, people call it, and the science of war has been part of the human existence ever since the fall of man. You want to write that down in your notes, because that's going to come back to answer some of your questions. Why is there war? Or why this? And what's happening in the world? Just know this. War is in the human heart. And the Bible, by the way, is the most well-documented book in all of human history that records not only the great miracles of the Bible and the epics of human existence, but the Bible speaks about the creation of man and takes us right into the wars of the nations of Egypt, for example, and Persia, and the great cradle of man's origins in the Middle East regions. And then, of course, Israel in the Bible. War is throughout the Bible. And as I said earlier, the most documented book in all of the world, the most documented writings. I think the only thing that comes close is the 600 partial manuscripts of Homer's Iliad, I think, comes close to the near 14,000 parchments or documents regarding the Bible. It's the most documented book in all of history. And it is the Bible that speaks about the ultimate war. Now, I want to warn all of you, or preempt, the news out there. I want you to get ready. Remember this. As we head deeper into summer, and as we head deeper into the time frame of the Iranian nuclear power abilities becoming more threatening to the world. Now we just heard Europe this week say that the nuclear environment in Europe, in the Middle East, is unacceptable and something must be done. So keep this in mind. As soon as war breaks out in the Middle East, and it's coming, that when that happens, all the phones are going to light up, because Fox News is going to call, CNN, NBC, the local newspapers are going to call, and they're going to say, is this the battle of Armageddon? First of all, they never believe in the Bible until there's a big war event, and then they all want to know what the Bible has to say. And no, it will not be Armageddon. That's impossible. Armageddon is not for a while. That's a fact. But these are interesting times. Our biblical worldview as Christians and believers regarding war. We can't bury our head in the sand. War is everywhere. So what are we going to do about it? Number one, we're going to answer this challenge of war with some questions. And granted, in the time that we have, we can only do so many. Number one, why does God allow war? Don't you want to ask that? Have you had that in your mind? Have your friends asked you this? Why does God allow war? Listen, ultimately, war is the result of human rebellion. God does not promote war. God does not engineer war. God is dealing with war because it's in the human heart post Adam and Eve fall. And so because God is the king presiding over all, and nations and peoples are wayward from God, there are wars. But God intervenes in these things, and he uses them. And that doesn't make God an author of war. But he inserts himself in the wars of man, and what's very interesting is that God himself will insert his response. Did you hear me? God will someday insert his response to man warring against man. And that's going to be an amazing day. Why does God allow war? James chapter 4, verse 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? You ever had a fight with somebody? You ever had a private war with somebody? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, that is your body? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because, look what the Bible says, because you don't ask. God says, well, you should have asked. I would have helped you out here. Instead, you don't ask and you war. War is in the human heart. On the university campus, when somebody says, oh, you know what? Hey, tell them, war is in your heart. It's in my heart. It's in human nature. So it's not that God allows it. God will use it because we're the engineers of it. We're the originators of war. God even uses fallen man to accomplish his purpose, the Bible says, over and over again. And because of man's rebellion and separation from God, God uses what man can relate to. And God will use war. Listen, number one, mark it down. Number one, to punish nations. Did you know that? God will use war to punish nations. Number two, God will use war to create a nation. Did you know that? That's pretty wild. Most nations in the world have been created by war. In fact, you're sitting in one right now. Number three, God uses war to destroy a nation. Number four, God uses war to benefit a nation. War. Watching a clip of the news tonight, getting ready to come here. How tragic. I mentioned on Sunday that things were getting very bad in Syria today. You guys, they don't even know now how many people are dead. Today they were launching tank rounds into the city from tanks. And from fighter jets. Sunday it was just attack helicopters on their own citizens. Tonight, Syria is using fighter jets to bomb and to shoot at its own people. Can you imagine? What do you think of that? If the United States Air Force began to bomb Chino Hills. That'll never happen. Well, I hope it never happens. But when you get our eyes off of God, anything can happen. Very freakish, huh? Very terrible. And how many times, what nation is the number one nation in the Bible that gets judged by God more than any other nation? Israel. How did God judge them? Sending the invasion of other nations via war. The book of Judges is all about Israel sinning against God. They wouldn't listen. He sends prophets to them. They won't pay attention. So then he sends an invading enemy to get their attention. They still won't turn. They're taken captive and then taken into captivity. And then after 50 to 80 years, they call out to God. God hears them and then delivers them. What is wrong with us? But that's us. That's us sitting here tonight. Well, why doesn't somebody do something about that stuff out there? You do something about that stuff that's out there. Well, why doesn't somebody sign that thing or stand up and say something about that thing? If you know about it, you're supposed to do something about it. Oh, I don't want to get involved. And that's the problem. All the bad people want to get involved and all the good people don't want to get involved. It's crazy. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Yikes! Has America forgotten God? I believe that in many ways God is lifting his hand of protection and blessing from America. I pray that we would turn. But you've often heard me say, and I've yet to be refuted on this, that the United States has been a great beacon of the gospel to the ends of the earth. There's no doubt about it. But post-World War II, we got really rich and really, really comfortable, and we haven't won a war since. The last war the United States won was World War II. We have absolutely goofball leaders. Our land is being manipulated by politicians that don't know anything. We can't get water to water our crops. Though we have water, we've got things going on in our nation. We've got decisions being made. What in the world? And boy, there's a lot of heat tonight going on in Washington over this. And there should be. There should be. What in the world's going on? It's a very amazing time. Have we forgotten God? Why does God allow war? He allows wars, as I mentioned a moment ago, to punish a nation, to create a nation, to destroy a nation, and to benefit a nation. God is in the outcome. Don't make any mistake about it. And none of us tonight are warmongers. Nobody wants war. I mean, you don't. There's people who are bloodthirsty. You know the term bloodthirsty. They want war. They love war. You're not that way. You're Christians. Number two, when does a nation or people go to war? That's a good question. When does a people go to war? Now, don't raise your hand because you're going to feel really bad if I debunk your position right now in a moment. Don't raise your hand. But there are those in America, there are Christians, and there are denominations that believe that you never, never, as a Christian, as a family, as a city, as a state, or a nation, ever do you defend yourself, ever. Never. You leave yourself to the outcome of God. In fact, you lay your neck down to the sword and you let that happen. Now, I can let that happen to me. That's no problem. I have no problem with that. Now, I have this problem. I have a hard time laying my wife's neck down and then saying, okay, here she is. You can cut her head off. And you know why I have a problem with that? Because I have the proper view. Oh, no, I'm a pacifist. I disengage. That's a sin. That is a sin. And we'll see just how that there's a point in a time when a nation or a people has to go to war. And this is a very important thing. And we need to imagine we're in a college class tonight. We're just going to follow this logic all the way through. You say, I don't like this class. Well, just hang on till it's over. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's a reality. Eventually, one of two reasons will come to every nation or every people that will define the why and the when issue on war. Only one of two things. You're going to choose one or the other. This is amazing to know. War is to be deterred. Listen, before I announce it, listen. War is to be deterred. That is resisted. War is to be held off as long as possible. Or, listen up, everybody. War is to be deterred, or war is to be a deterrent. Very important now here. What are the one of two things, what are the two things that a people, a person, a home, a nation will adopt regarding war? It's pretty amazing. Pick which one camp you would most be comfortable in. I'll give the first argument. When does a nation go to war or fight? The first is when it has needs of defending itself against a hostile invader. That's the first one. Are you listening? You go to war because you are defending yourself against a hostile invader. Number two, you go to war because you have desires to expand your territories and conquer or occupy. These are the two reasons why nations or people go to war. One is a defense posture, and the other one is an advancing posture. You got that? One is on the defensive, one is on the offensive. One says, I'm going to take over the world. For example, which one of those did Adolf Hitler have? The second one. I'm going to take over the world. the Empire of Japan at the same time. We're going to take over the world. Think of that. That thinking does not come from a Judeo-Christian worldview. A Judeo-Christian biblical worldview is deter war, put it off as much as possible. But like George Washington announced, if my enemy, and Abraham Lincoln as well, if my enemy brings the war to me, then I must fight to defend my citizens. Did you know that's a godly thing? Did you know that's biblical? It's even mandated in Scripture. Isn't that amazing? He said, no, 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 watch, everybody, watch. I can't defend anybody. I can't do anything. Listen. Imagine right now, we just got word, flash, headlines, on the news, boom. A surprise enemy invasion just took place in Newport Beach. They're landing on the shore. And they're slaying people in the streets. What are you going to do? Think about it. This is real. What are you going to do? Think about it. You can't sit this one out. You are living and breathing. You can't sit it out. You got to have an answer. They're 30 miles away, and they, in fact, there was a map found, and the map was specifically had a circle around Chino Hills or your home or your life, wherever, and they're coming to get you. And by the way, now we're getting helicopter reports from the news programs, and there's dead people in the streets. Women are being raped. Children are being smashed against cars and automobiles. Men are being slain, and all that they once had is being taken captive by these invaders. Okay? What are you going to do? I'm not going to get involved. You know why you're not going to get involved? Because you think 30 miles is too far. That's why. That's the only reason why. Now they're in Yorba Linda. And they have a scorched earth policy. And from Yorba Linda to Newport Beach, it is all ablaze. What are you going to do? You're going to lay your neck down, right? You're going to lay your head down. You got babies? You have kids? Are you going to bring them out to your front lawn and you're going to lay them out and say, we're going to trust the Lord? How come David didn't take that approach? Think about it. Can you imagine taking that approach with Adolf Hitler? Do you know that today, the college kids who raised their hands in the sanctuary a moment ago, did you know what they're taught in school? They're taught the doctrine of appeasement. That is, your enemy, if you be nice to them, they won't hurt you. Doctrine of appeasement. Be nice to your enemy, and they won't hurt you. When they take you captive and take your cars and your kids and your life and your identity and put you in prison, they'll be nice to you. I just want you to know the doctrine of appeasement has never once yet ever succeeded in human history. Why? Because war is in the human heart. And even if you want to live a peaceable, beautiful, quiet life, don't we all, amen, there are people who want to kill. There was a maniac who wanted to kill people in a theater in Colorado. And you could have said, listen, let's sit down and talk. I'll get you a Starbucks. Nothing was going to change his mind. A nation goes to war to defend its citizens, and according to the Bible, civic leaders are under mandate to protect their citizens.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 1. Pastor Jack thanks you for listening today and wants to encourage us to pray for our country. For a nation that is obedient to God is blessed in both life and liberty. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that has a look at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Before we let you go, we'd like to let you know about our Relevant Church DVD set. It comes from the lessons where Pastor Jack spoke about our biblical worldview and the church, and it really helps us to understand how we can be relevant in our modern era. With all the distractions we have these days, it's easy to feel alone or disconnected. Well, if you're a Christian, the Bible says that there is a place in the body of Christ designed just for you. If the church is going to be relevant in the 21st century, you and I really have to know how we fit in as Christians. Don't miss out on the Relevant Church DVD set available now for a gift of any amount at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.